discover the power of positivity, identify your gifts, then plan and execute your passion, and ultimately thrive exponentially in life, and most importantly in business, on Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment should put me in greater than, greater than.
The circumstances that I'm faced with greater than, greater than. The environment should put me in greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with greater than. Yes! And your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. And today we have a special treat for you. On the Sudden Eye Impact Show, we have fun together, we learn together, and we encourage one another. On the Sudden Eye Impact Show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, mentorship, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of expectation, the power of words, consciousness, awareness, accountability partners, being of service, becoming the observer, creativity, innovation, visionary leadership, entrepreneurship, goal setting, goal attainment, imagination, visualization, economic empowerment, relationships, the power of partnerships, belief systems, decision making, the mind, and success. On our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work when you work them, that deliver good and great results. On our show, the mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss and deliver simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health awareness, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The Sudden Eye Impact Show is spiritual, inspirational, motivational, expressive, electrifying, powerful and transformational content that anyone can learn and apply consistently in any area of their life to either change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Today we have a special guest, and the next voice that you will hear will be Miss Kristen Howe. She is an actress, model, singer, creative success coach, and owner of multiple successful businesses over the past 20 years. She has interviewed more than 150 of the masters. To name a few, Dr. Robert Anthony, Dane Heer, and David Poneman. And with no further ado, we bring to the stage Miss Kristen Howe. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's fantastic to be here.
Hey, I want to express sincere gratitude for you being able to come in onto the show, because, first of all, I know your schedule is booked out like almost 2 years, and I know you're very, very busy. So I thank you for seeing enough potential in me and seeing enough value in me to even be able to adjust your schedule to come on to the Sudden Eye Impact Show. I deeply, deeply appreciate that and want to express sincere, authentic gratitude for that.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I receive that, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm so glad we could make this happen.
Awesome. So I'll let you tell the crowd a little bit about yourself, and then we'll just go with the flow.
I mean, I think you told them about me, but what I would like to express is, you know, I've been doing this stuff for about 20 years, helping people live their full potential. You know, that sounds so cliche. That's not it. It's about expanding into your greatness, truly. And, you know, at some point someone asked me, you know, what does it all come down to? I think everybody gets asked that question at some point. We're all going to have a slightly different answer depending on what makes sense to us. Thought about it for a while, and I realized it all comes down to our focus. And I don't mean, you know, having supreme focus when you're working on things, although that's part of it. When I talk about everything coming down to your focus, what I mean is what you're focusing on, how you're focusing on it, what you're doing with that focus, the energy that you're putting toward it, the focus of your mind, the focus of your thoughts, your energy, your everything in all of your systems. And, you know, one of the things that I say all the time, you've heard me say this a million times, is, you know, what you focus on in any given moment determines the experience that you're having in that moment. right? And I even go so far as I prove that with people and all of that stuff. We can get into that if you want here. What you focus on consistently over time determines the experience that you're having in your life, you know, how you're feeling, basically, as well as the results that you're getting. So if you want to get different results and if you want to feel differently about your life, you need to start with your focus. And that's why when I finally could answer that question is when I said, okay, this is everything I'm about. I am about helping people achieve focus mastery, because when you achieve focus mastery, you've got the keys to the kingdom.
Profound words. And so I don't know if I want to be greedy today, but I want you to possibly walk me through, like, defining moments before you began your journey of awakening and helping people, and then give me some of your defining moments, you know, while on the journey, you know, when you had achieved a certain level of success and you desired to reach the next level, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. So, look, I've had some really, really large successes in my life, but I've also had some incredibly low lows. And so what the journey is for me and has been for me is figuring out how to not have it be so much of a roller coaster ride, and how to actually enjoy the ride while I'm on it. You know, I was one of those people that you could absolutely have, you know, you could convince me to do that whole crush it mindset, like crush it. And, you know, it's like a badge of honor if you don't sleep and you're, you know, you're working and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, there are times you need to do that. But to do that when you don't need to, just so that you say that that's what you're doing, I think that's misplaced value. And we, a lot of times in this society, have value placed on that. How hard are you working? You know, I remember specifically one day, it's probably about 20, 25 years ago, someone just touched my shoulder and they went, oh, wow, you're so tense. And I remember I felt proud. And that's when I was like, well, wait a minute, that's messed up. Like, I shouldn't be proud of being tense, but we get proud of our tension. We get proud of our struggle. We get proud. Now, there are things that come from our struggle that are incredibly brilliant things to be proud of, but that's not what we're getting proud of. We're getting proud of the fact that we are struggling, which is going to keep us stuck in the struggle. And a lot of that is because we feel like, you know, we can't, we're going to get looked down on if it seems like we're, you know, quote unquote, in the flow, if it seems like things are coming easily to us. So, you know, a lot of my struggle, you know, like I said, I had some really high highs. I had some other times where, I mean, it was low. Like there was a point in time where I was living in New York City and I couldn't afford anything. I couldn't afford a glass to drink water out of. So I had to just sort of put my head under the tap. I had stale bread and mayonnaise, and that's what I was living off of. And, you know, things were rough. And then, you know, then things would go great. And I was in Broadway shows and all of that. And then bam, I'd get slapped down again. And so it was figuring out, like I said, how to not have it be such a crazy, crazy roller coaster ride. There's going to be high highs. There's going to be low lows no matter what, but it's allowing, how do you have the internal journey that you're going through not be so up and down, because that's the part that exhausts you. And that's the part that exhausted me. And so that really, you know, there were points, man, where I came, you know, there was a point where I first came out to LA where, I mean, things had dried up again and it was bad. And this, you know, this was before, this was probably about 15 years ago, right before I really started fully on this path. And I, you know, I had done a whole bunch of different things and had run a coaching program for a successful author. And then he and I, you know, we kind of showed up as different people than we had started as. I'm immensely grateful for him and that journey. But this was right before I decided to do it on my own. And, you know, I mean, things were rough. And I'm always someone that I've always had, I'm so thankful for this, the ability to see what's possible, even in the worst situations. And that was the first time I remember where that almost slipped away from me. The ability to do that almost slipped away from me. And through that, through the realizing that it was slipping away, was when I realized that was the thing I couldn't let slip away, because if I did that, I was done. I was going to stop looking. I was going to stop trying to grow. I was going to stop trying to expand. And that was a profound turning point for me. And realizing that the only way I was going to shift out of what was an incredibly difficult time was by figuring out how to get good with where I was before I tried to move from there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then, you know, and I did. I committed myself to that. That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to just sort of figure out how to run to any other reality than I was in, and I figured out how to get good with it. And, you know, because as I like to say, wherever you are, there you are, right? So you could go to a new reality, but those circumstances, after the newness wears off, those same circumstances are going to find you again until you figure out, okay, how do I get good with me wherever I am? And even make the most of whatever situation I'm in. And the thing that I've realized is we resist doing this. I resisted doing this because we're so scared that if we get good with where we are, we're going to settle there. We're going to stay there. And we want more. And the truth is actually the opposite. The truth is actually that we are naturally expansive beings. We naturally go, I'm here, this is awesome, and ooh, how much more can I grow? But when we're running to try to get more because we feel a lack of value with where we are, that's when we end up actually stuck where we are. So when you can get good with where you are, when you can make the most of a situation where you are, like I remember I was in this, you know, you've probably heard me tell this story. I was in, I was living in a place that, like, it was a cute little place, but like the walls, there was no insulation. And if it got above 85 degrees here in LA, so it's going to do that a lot. If it got above 85 degrees, the inside, you would smell the paint burning. Like this was not a healthy place to live. There was no, I didn't even have a light in the shower, right? Like, and so all of this stuff made me feel poor. It made me feel awful. It made me feel like I want to be anywhere but here. And as long as I was stuck with that focus, remember, it comes down to what you're focused on. I was focusing on, I want to be anywhere but here. So what does that mean I'm focusing on? I'm focusing on, this sucks. This feels terrible. I feel poor here. I feel like I'm lacking. I feel like my spirit is being crushed, my confidence. That's all I was focused on. And when I finally had this realization that I just shared about, you know, oh, I got to get good with myself. I got to even get good with the space. If I want to move from here, I need to find a way to be happy here. That's like totally counterintuitive to what we've been taught. It's the complete opposite. And I did little things. It's the littlest things that change everything for you. First of all, it's just the focus shift of, oh, okay, so what can I be happy with here? Like I went and I got one of those stupid push-on lights, you know what I'm talking about, where you'd like push them and they and put it in the top of the shower. It was life-changing. And the second I let go of that fear of, if I get okay with being here, if I start to find things that I like about this place, that I'm going to get stuck here. The second I let go of that fear, that's when I was able to move. When I started to embrace where I was, when I started to actually even find ways to like it, which I did, then I literally was by, like my whole business started, turned, got going. I was buying a condo within, I think it was like, I mean, I think it was within a year, maybe 18 months. It wasn't going to happen as long as I was focused on how much I hated it, how badly I felt. Because the actions that are created from that awareness and that focus go with creating more of that reality. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Is that good? Those good turning points for you?
Absolutely. I'm sure the audience.
I'm an open book, man, so ask me whatever you want.
So now that you are immensely successful, and I know you've done it in different stages and you continue to set higher and higher goals, you talked about high highs and low lows. Give us like maybe a financial example of like before you got there, how it was, and then once you got there, how it felt, and then when the next challenge or obstacle came, kind of walk us step by step through that.
Yeah, it eventually, here's the interesting thing that you discover. Is there is a point, and actually they've done studies about this, but I had heard about these studies, and when I was in the low lows financially, I didn't believe them. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you that. But there is a point, there is a number when it stops becoming about the money. When the expansion, when the joy, when all of that stops being about the money. At first, sure, it is. You know, we live in a physical society. Money is a, you know, it absolutely is going to make things easier for you. It's, you know, money is neither good nor bad. It's whatever energy we give it. But yeah, it, you know what? Life is easier if you have a certain amount of money. I didn't. I mean, there were periods of time where if I wanted sugar in my coffee, I had to go to Starbucks and grab a sugar. I felt terrible doing that because I couldn't afford to buy sugar. Now, here's the thing I will tell you. So if anybody from Starbucks is listening, and it's absolutely true, it was the one on Beverly Drive in Beverly Hills. Once I started doing well, they must have been like, what happened to our inventory? I went and dropped off a whole bunch of sugars. I just randomly put them in there because I wanted to energetically replace that. You know, but where you're just wondering, where you're looking at it going, you know, how is this going to work? I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay bills. I don't know how I'm going to be able to survive. Like I said, the mayonnaise sandwiches, you know, I was there. I was there at the door of everything going away multiple times. And once this shift started, you know, about 20 years ago when the business started and all that, I just started sharing myself authentically. It's stuff I had always done. You know, like when I was doing, I did Broadway shows in New York and stuff, and still do. But when I, you know, would do shows, like I was the person people would come to and, you know, I would talk to them. And it wasn't, you know, about just sort of making them feel better. It's like people would come to me because I could see what was possible for them, even when they couldn't see it. And so they could then get a glimpse of it. And that was a good thing. So I finally decided, hey, I'm going to start doing that. Like, I'm going to do that for real. And it got to a point, this was an interesting thing that I think you'll find this very interesting, because this is about money, because we get so fixated on the money. Because, like I said, at first, yeah, we need money to pay for certain things. And it got to the point where I think it was the point where I hit about $15,000 a month, which, I mean, that was life-changing. And I realized that I was still just... Like, I was still stressed as if I couldn't pay my bills. Because my awareness, my focus was still, I hadn't changed it. And I remember looking at a friend of mine and saying, you know what, I've hit the point where I pretty much, I mean, no, I'm not going and buying myself a jet. Am I, you know, a multimillionaire? No, not at this point. But at that point, like, I didn't actually have financial worry anymore, right? That was the difference. But I had not changed what I was focusing on. So that I hadn't changed how I was living. And I said to a friend of mine, I said, you know what? I just realized it's not going to change until I change it. So there was even a shift within that financial element. If I needed to remind myself, hey, you still got to do the work and put it, but you also need to like do the stuff to remind yourself that you are good and that you're taking care of. And then, and so that then what you're focused on is not how do I make more money and not that panicked focus, because the panicked focus tends to create more panic, right? and more things to be panicked about. And so it was like, all right, so how do I relax? How do I start to trust this, that this is working? And that even if this doesn't work, guess what? I've always made something work. I've been at the door that I was at multiple times, and I've always come out of it, right? So it was sort of like allowing that to happen. And it was at that point that I realized, okay, you know what? A certain amount of money, yes. And then, and for me, that was, it was about $15,000 a month is when I went, okay, anything above this is fantastic. And I, you know, once it went well above that, I was able to do some amazing things, right? But it was no longer necessary to take the I'm safe or am I not safe feeling off of things. Now, what's interesting about that is then you got a whole bunch of other stuff you got to deal with when you go on that journey, because you've been used to being motivated to action. Certainly, you know, it's just like you are, you're driven by your passion, right? Certainly driven by passion. But when there's that added element of paying your bills, it drives you differently. And so then it becomes about, and this is really cool, but it can be, this is why a lot of people hit a certain point in their lives and they start to get complacent, because suddenly it becomes about you need to find what truly motivates you, as opposed to just having the external stuff and the need to survive and put a roof over your head and, you know, maybe save up a little extra and all of that. When that's no longer the primary motivation, you got to, then you need to find your true motivation. And that's where a lot of people, they don't. And so they get complacent. A lot of times they'll even slide backwards to, so that that motivation pops in again. So that's, you know, there's different focus shifts at each level that you need to make.
Well stated. So this has been a really triumphant year. I mean, I think no matter what level you're at, I mean, whether you're the homeless person sleeping behind a trash can or you're Jeff Bezos, the COVID-19 mm-hmm. pandemic has affected us all.
Yep.
So give us some pointers on, I guess, eradicating fear and, you know, what just ordinary people, some pointers on, you know, what they should be, like your keyword, focus on, and I guess exercises mm-hmm. that they could be doing to actually move them forward instead of keeping them stuck or keeping them in fear and keeping them in a heightened spot where they think, like, if they stay where they're at, this is all going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a really good question. So it is. It all comes down to focus. So here's the thing. Like, this has been a unifying year in the fact that whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. We've all been dealing with it. Every single one of us has been dealing with it in some way or another. And it's all about the focus. Now, there are things, like I was in New York during September 11th. I watched the towers go down from my window. Got obsessed with watching the news after about 2 weeks of that. Felt like it was burned out, like literally felt like I was just completely raw and unable to function. And I was like, I can't do that anymore. I cannot intake, because all I was just watching the same stuff over and over and over again. It wasn't like I was getting any new information. So I stopped watching the news September 11th. So I haven't actually, I still, to this day, have not watched the news since then. Now, people hear that and they're like, well, how are you going to know? I always know the things that I need to know. And there are times where I need to tune in, certainly, more. But the key is, and again, remember, this is about focus. If you open up your scope of focus to just everything, you're going to be overwhelmed. It's going to be crushing fear. You're going to be like all over the place. You're not going to know what to focus on, that which creates a feeling of, you know, no confidence, which creates more fear, right? All doubt, everything. So you need to create filters for your focus. So like during this year, yeah, I've needed to have more information than I normally do. So I decided my sources of that information. I decided how to, what the boundaries were for that information, how to filter that information to myself as a choice, as opposed to just, I'm open to it coming from everywhere. You know, I don't have a million different news feeds piling into my phone at all times. Like, I choose where the information is coming from, and I choose how often I check it. So when things first started, I was checking it twice a day. Then it got to the point where it was once a day. Now I check it every couple of days. I mean, right now, especially in LA, we're going through a particularly high resurgence of things. But, you know, in truth, it's like I would, at first, you're panicked. I panicked just like everybody. I'm looking at the stock market going, oh my God, how am I ever going to get any of this money back? It was, there were large losses. Well, I mean, now we've recovered beyond that. There's only, it's the point, what you want to ask yourself is, am I getting any new information here? And not only is it new, but is it something that will cause me to be able to make a decision to take a better new action for myself? And if not, then you don't need it. Then it's just information that's there to freak you out. Is this going to inform the decisions I actively make? Is there anything I can specifically do about this? And that's not what we're taught. We're taught news, 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 and not even filtered news, not even let's, you know, fact check that, just coming from everywhere, coming from if Aunt Sally says it, it must be true, coming from if, you know, the barber says it, it must be true, coming from if this thing on Facebook says it, it must be true, without even checking it. And that's going to have us all over the place. So when we realize we're in charge of what we are allowing in, and we are choosing when we're looking at it, we are creating the time and the space to look at it. So again, it's a conscious choice. It's not limitless. It's not open-ended. It's not like I'm just at 7 p.m. going to start surfing the news. It's literally like, here's my 15 minutes to get the information I need to see if there are any new decisions I need to make. And then there's a certain amount of letting go, because there's only so much we can control in a situation. But here's the thing you can always control, is what you are focusing on. You can focus, so you ask yourself, is what I'm focusing on right now serving my good? Is it supporting my good? Is it supporting the direction I want to go? Is it supporting my health, my well-being, my success? Or is it not supporting it? Is it sabotaging it? Anything that just makes you feel bad and freaked out while feeling powerless isn't good for you. So there's nothing you can do about it. Which, by the way, is not to say that you're not going to have moments where you're freaked out and all. It happens, right? Like, one of the big things I talk about is the fact that anyone who's telling you that at some point you're going to get perfect at any of this, perfect mindset, perfect focus, perfect emotions, perfect mood, where you're like always in a good mood and always positive, and they are lying to you, because it's not possible. As far as I know, it's not possible. Maybe it's possible. I have never seen it. I have never personally experienced it. I'm really good at this stuff. I am ultimately committed to choosing the focus that will serve me best, choosing to have, you know, a more positive way of looking at things, obviously, while being realistic about what's going on. I am really committed to that. I'm really good at it. I am not perfect at it. And so that's another thing, is letting ourselves off when we're not perfect at it, as opposed to then going down that rabbit hole of beating ourselves up for, you know, feeling bad or feeling doubt or getting stuck in negative attachment or whatever. Instead going, well, yeah, okay, I don't want to continue it because it's not supporting me, but it's totally normal that I did that. So what's something I can focus on that's going to support me a little more than that? And that's it. It's a redirect of focus. It's the best thing you can be doing right now, because the noise isn't going to go away. Does that help?
Well stated. Yes, I think, yeah, I'm sure they're heating that up. Like that's the top of the food chain. So what do you enjoy doing? Because I know, like, I'm overly impressed with I know your Tuesdays, you coach, teach, and train all day, and then sometimes it falls where you have a teleseminar going out to all your followers. Like, what do you enjoy doing? What takes you away from the business, and you're able to enjoy yourself and replenish? Kind of walk us through mm-hmm. that.
The refuel. Yeah, and first of all, I love what I do, right? I do two things. I teach people to be focus masters, and I'm an actor. I'm a performer, right? I'm like a singer and an actor. I love all of what I do. But no matter how much you love what you do, you need a break. You need to refuel so that you can continue to do it at a high level. You know, you can't run a racehorse 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't do it. Eventually the racehorse is going to lay down and be like, no, right? So we're the same way. So that's such a great question, because it's so important, and people, that's why I'm so against the crush it mentality, because it doesn't allow for that. And it's really, really, really important. So for me, normally it's nature of some sort. For me, it's nature. It's get out. I told you I was at the beach this morning, just sitting there. You know, it's nice and, what, like 60 degrees here. I think it was, you know, 55 or something this morning. So it was there was a nice chill at the beach. You know, there's not a lot of people. I'm just sitting there. You see the dolphins. So for me, any sort of connecting with nature that I can do is incredibly refueling for me. But in truth, you know, there are times where I don't feel like going anywhere. So I think the thing to remember with refueling, there's a difference between refueling and tuning out and losing time. So I think, unfortunately, in our society, what has happened is we're like, I worked crazy hard, so now I'm just going to, like, sit on the couch and veg out, so to speak. And it turns into, you don't know how many hours you've been on your computer, you know, or you're on your phone, and you don't know how many hours you've been doing it. That's lost time. Now, what you're doing is not necessarily what's wrong. There's time for all of that. I love to sit on my couch and just be like, I'm going to watch movies all day. But it's got to be conscious. Like, you need to be aware of what you're doing. And do it. Like, do it up. Have fun. No one gets anything from lost time. Right? Like, I love to, when we're not in pandemic time. I haven't seen friends since this whole thing began. But I love going out for a couple drinks with friends and just sort of, but it's not lost time. I am consciously there, engaged in that process. So we can have all these different things that refuel us in different ways. But the key is to consciously be present in it so it's not lost time. Like, if I went to the beach this morning and just sat there, like, on my phone, or I wasn't paying attention, or I was just kind of zoned out, then I'm not aware that, like, hey, I'm taking some time for myself. This is awesome. And that doesn't mean it needs to be work, but just, like, appreciate. I was like, oh my God, this air smells so good, right? Like, it's enjoying it. On those days when I just want to sit on the couch all day and watch movies, I am like, yes, I am watching movies, right? Like, I am doing this. I'm having some snacks. I'm making myself some popcorn. I am going to sit here and have this full experience. Have the full experience. And I think a lot of it comes up, too, because we feel guilty for it. And I'm like, no, if you have the full experience, you're not going to need it as often or as much of it. That part of us that feels like, well, if I start, I'll never want to stop. I'll never want to get off the couch. That's just because you're exhausted. Like, that's because you're not actually refueling yourself. So have the full experience, whatever that is. You can have a full experience in 5 minutes. But yeah, so for me, it's nature, but sometimes it's like watching, like, I'm rewatching West Wing right now. I love that show. So smart. It's such smart humor and brilliant writing. But so it's different things. It's different things that just make you, oh yeah, this is awesome. But have the full experience.
Yeah, you touched on something that's really key, and I caught it when you talked about going out and maybe, you know, in the social and having a few drinks, mm-hmm. you said that you're consciously present there. That's key.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not being in it to lose time. When we're not conscious and we're just losing time, you know, like I have one client who's like, if I pick up my phone and start playing a certain game on the phone, it could be hours and I won't realize it. That's lost time because she's not actually enjoying it. You know, and I said that. I'm like, are you enjoying it? Are you getting something from it? She's like, no, it literally is lost time. That's what happens with people with drinking. That's what happens with people sometimes with eating, with shopping, right? We all have those different things that can shift from, hey, I really enjoy this, to I'm doing this to sort of, and I'm numbing out, I'm losing time. Well, then you're just escaping. But if you can shift your focus to exactly what you said, being consciously present in it, in what you're doing, in why you're doing it, and why you want to be there having that conversation, why you want to be there having that drink, you know, playing that game on your computer. It's, again, it's not about that doing the thing itself is bad. It's how we're doing it.
Wow. Can you tell us how to change the awareness and the focus? Because earlier you were telling like some of the success stories. Now you didn't have mm-hmm. the financial issue that you once had, but you realized mm-hmm. that you were in the same predicament, situation, condition, circumstance. And until you mm-hmm. shifted, nothing mm-hmm. like the good stuff that's supposed to come with that didn't come until you shifted. Can you mm-hmm. elaborate on that for a little bit?
Yeah. Until I changed what I was looking at. The best question you can ask yourself multiple times a day, here's how you do it. Set an alarm on your phone that recurs multiple times a day, 3 times a day. Make yourself the promise that when that alarm goes off on your phone, you're not just going to, you know, stop it and reject it and turn it off and not look at it, but that you're going to look at it. Program that alarm to say, what are you looking at right now? What are you focused on right now? What are you giving your attention to right now? You can pick any of those versions, whatever resonates most with you. So much gets revealed to you just by that. You'd be like, oh, man. At first, here's what happens. It goes off. You see the alarm. You're like, oh, my God, this is so cool. I was focused on, like, what that random guy said to me at the supermarket where I'm never going to see him again, but it bothered me. I'm still focused on it. Then you're going to ask yourself, well, what's something that, you know, what's something else I could focus on that would serve me better? Like, sure, that was annoying, that was frustrating, but what's something I could focus on right now that, you know, like I call it the 15-minute solution, that I can do in 15 minutes or less that is a better focus, it's a better way of engaging my mind, my body, my energy. You don't beat yourself up for focusing on what the guy said. You're human. It's going to happen. Congratulations, you're human. So set alarms that happen 3 times a day, and that's the primary goal. And at first, all you're looking to do is have awareness. You're not looking to change everything overnight. You do not need to reinvent yourself overnight. I am so tired of the people that are teaching you, yeah, you wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to make totally different choices. Doesn't happen like that. You might do that tomorrow morning. You might do that for a week. Then you're going to get exhausted. Then all of your neural pathways are going to be so confused that eventually you're going to go back to how you were doing things. It's the progressive changes. It's the first shifting to awareness. So that's, you set those alarms on your phone. You're like, this week, all I'm looking to do is when that alarm goes off is to really notice, what was I paying attention to? Is that serving me? Is that supporting what I want? Or is it taking away from what I want? And how can I focus on something even better? Which is a great question, because even if you were focused on something good, that's an open opportunity question. How can I focus on something even better right now? What's something even better that I could focus on? There's no judgment in it. It's a possibility-based question. And then the next week, let's say then your whole thing is like, all right, so what positive action can I really start to take? So you're going to go through a progression. Now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to do this. The first week, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I love this. The second week, you're going to start to feel tempted to be like, oh, yeah, I know what that alarm is. I'm just going to shut it off. That is your system trying to revert you back to how you were doing things before without that awareness. So just hear me saying this now. So in a week, when you've been doing this for a week and that's your instinct, you'll catch yourself and go, oh, no, she said this was going to happen. So I'm going to pay it. What was I just focusing on? It's the commitment and the consistency. What did I say before? What you focus on in any given moment determines the experience you're having in that moment. Basically, what you're focusing on determines how you feel. What you focus on consistently over time determines the experience that you're having in your life, how you feel in your life, and the results you're getting. Consistently. You're not going to be perfect, but you keep bringing your focus back consistently. One of the easiest ways to do it is to use this amazing little computer that we have in our pockets that sometimes we can become a little too obsessed with, and instead use it for good, not evil. Again, that's you deciding how you're going to use this tool. Set those focus alarms. They're focus triggers. Set the focus alarms. Pay attention to them. That's on you. That's a choice only you can make, is if you're going to pay attention to them or not. Are you going to pay attention to them every day? No. I don't pay attention to mine every day. There are some days where I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like being a focus master today. That's fine. But do it the next day. And commit to not allowing that a whole bunch of those days get strung together. But judging yourself, that is not going to help you. When you're judging yourself, what are you focused on? Stuff that is not supporting you and where you want to go. So when you judge yourself, that's because a lot of times when the alarm goes off to ask you what you're focused on, you're going to realize, oh, I was focused on something that I didn't do well, or why is this happening to me, or whatever. Is going down the rabbit hole of like, oh, man, why do I keep doing that? That's creating, is that going to help you or hurt you? It's going to hurt you. What wouldn't hurt you? Okay, well, I was doing that. That's okay. I'm human. Kristen said that. She said, congratulations, you're human, which means everybody is going through this at times. So what's something that I can focus on in 15 minutes or less that I can take action on that will support where I want to go? That's it. It's the constant willingness to adjust your focus. It's the commitment to doing it consistently over time that will make and this isn't just about positive thinking, by the way. This is what your focus is determines how you handle things. When you're focused on things that feel better and are serving you better, you're much more able to handle things that need real solutions. You can handle problems in a bigger way. A friend of mine once was talking about a movie, and it was a bunch of us sitting around talking, and someone else said, that sounds horrible. And I said, no, it's not horrible. They said, that sounds horrible because it sounds like there's no hope. And I said, oh, no, there's absolutely hope. You know it's leading toward a solution. And my other friend said, well, of course you see it that way. You're the hero. So you're always looking at, even when there's a problem, even when something sucks, your focus is on, yes, but there's a solution. That focus will always serve you better. Even when you're needing to deal with a really big problem that feels terrible, that is a solution mindset. This isn't just, you know, skipping around going, everything's great. Sometimes things aren't great. But I promise you, if you're looking at it with the mindset of, okay, so how can I shift them to make them a little better versus why are things so terrible right now? One of them has solutions at the end of it, and one just has more despair. This is not just, wow, you know, think good thoughts and your life changes. That's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need to deal with some serious stuff. That wasn't the word I wanted to use, but, you know. But sometimes you need to. But when you're looking at it from the standpoint of, this can be a little bit better. That's my focus. There's a very different focus and awareness than why is this so awful. You will find proof of whatever you look for. Let me say that again because it is that important. You will find proof for whatever you look for. So it is time to consciously choose what it is you are looking for predominantly. Are you going to be perfect at it? Nope. Do you need to be perfect at it? Absolutely not.
Wow. I know your time is very precious. I want to put myself on the hot seat. So I think it was July 16th, we had like a strategy session, and I want the audience to know I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Christian Howe. I was, I didn't even know how I stumbled across it. It was coming in my email. I was listening to some of her interviews with the Masters, and I think it was like the end of 2015, crossing over to 2016. And it might have been replays. I don't know what year it actually happened. But, I mean, I used to listen to those things, and I'm a huge fan of hers. So we had a conversation in July 16th, I believe it was, a one-hour strategy session. And I'm putting myself on the hot seat, and I just want to know, like, your observation of me, my growth, and then things that I can do better, you know, so I can continue to improve and evolve and expand.
Wow, my impression of you instantly was your enthusiasm and passion is going to get you thousands of miles beyond where you would go without those. And then in terms of better, I wouldn't say it's anything to do better. It's then just taking that enthusiasm and passion for what's possible and then going, okay, so what specific action can I take today to start to tip the lever? I would say for you, it's like what I love about you doing this show and everything is that you're willing to jump in, right? And do. You're not waiting for it to be perfect. You're not waiting until everything's ready. You know, you've got your book. My God, dude, that thing is awesome. So it's keep doing that, but get where you are, the people that you are most primed to help. Get into what is their, I think we even talked about this on that call. What is their languaging? What's the language? Because they don't speak your language. The stuff they need you to help them with, that's the language you're fluent in, right? That's how you can help them. But they don't know that language because if they did, they wouldn't need you, right? So it's learning what their language is, what their struggles are in their words so that you can talk to them at their level so that then they're like, yes, I need your, and it's being willing to speak to their deepest and darkest pain. What I love about you is that you are so focused on the potential and all the beautiful magnificence that is possible. But the reason the people that need you are gonna pull the trigger, are going to say, yes, I don't mean pull the trigger on like, you know, paying for something. I mean, just pull the trigger and say, yes, Joy, I am all in. I am working with you. You are helping me with this. The reason they're going to do that is when you speak to first, or actually let them speak to their darkest and deepest pain of what is not working and what it is costing them. And then absolutely letting them know the possibility of the transformation at hand. Absolutely. But the reason people make the decision to become consistent, like with the stuff that I'm working on, it's not easy. It's not like you just decide it and one day and flip a switch and then you're a focus master. You got to keep doing it. And not only that, but you're going back to your original instincts and all of that, but you were born with those original instincts, and then you were taught a whole bunch of other stuff that is the opposite of your original, like these the positive instincts, right? So you're going against what you've been trained. It's going to be the same thing with the people you're helping. So when someone is willing to make that sort of commitment, when they're like, yeah, I'm going all in because I want to live my greatest joy. I want to escape. But it's not just what they want to live and experience in a positive way. It's what are they wanting to escape? What are they finally ready to be done with? What is tearing them apart? And it seems counterintuitive as someone that is helping people live this magnificence to speak to that pain. But if you don't, they're never going to take the action just based on the positive transformation that's possible. Because in truth, it's their pain and the fact that they feel like they're keeping it a secret, first of all, most people do. So when you can speak to their pain, when you can meet them at that level and say, I see this and I feel this and I have felt this pain, they first of all feel seen. Which is so important. The second of all, they feel not alone. And then you can say, here's the thing. So many people are feeling this. You're not alone. I have felt that pain. I have been devastated by that. And even though it feels like this is how it's always going to be, it doesn't need to be that way. Do you want to know what's possible? Right? Because for you, you're sort of that guy that's like, let me show you everything that's possible, which is amazing. And people are going to be like, that's so cool. But deep down in their heads, they're going, well, it's possible for other people. It's not possible for me. So you got to get in there and talk to them about that. When you're willing to do that, my friend, and realize that speaking to their pain isn't opening it up. It isn't making it worse. It isn't, because you're not deep diving into the pain. It's just being real about here are the things that feel awful and that need to change. That's the true motivation at first. That's what's going to get them on the road so that then you can share with them the journey that you have within you that is so powerful to be able to share. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amazingly stated.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Like I say, audience, please express sincere gratitude and send her good energy and good prayers, because she's booked out 2 years. And I mean, she's a phenomenal teacher. She's very humble and down to earth, but I mean, she's incredible, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm being authentic. She's the real deal. So, in drawing to a close, we've talked about this. You've had a focus master on here. These are the words I want to leave you with. Be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Become an ambassador of change. First, you will change you, then your world and everything in it will change. Thank you, and until the next time, keep using your faith.
Discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact. With your host, Lee.